Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite children's books, one that I always loved reading to my own boys, is called The Runaway Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I am running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." The rest of the book details all the ways the little bunny may run away and hide, and the ways his mother will always catch up with him. "I will become a rock on the mountain high above you," he says. "Then I will be a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are. I will be a crocus in a hidden garden. Then I will be a gardener and find you. I will be a bird and fly away from you. If you become a bird, I will be a tree that you come home to. And my favorite, I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze. Then I will be a tightrope walker and I will walk across the air to you." Finally, the bunny decides that he may as well just stay at home. And the story ends with a cuddle and a carrot. I was reminded of this story this week as I read Psalm 139, with its similar theme of God's unwavering, relentless care for us. The first stanza of the psalm speaks of how God knows us. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away." The second stanza speaks of God's constant presence with us. "If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me. Your right hand shall hold me fast." This is a God who pursues us tirelessly, who never lets us go, a God who has claimed us as God's own and never gives up on us. The third stanza of the psalm reminds us that God, creator of all things, created and formed us as well. It reminds us that we, all of us, and everyone we see, are fearfully and wonderfully made. And our reading ends with these words, "I come to the end, I am still with you." This is the God who is always present through all of our endings and beginnings. The end of a relationship, the end of a job, the very frayed end of our rope. God is there. God's steadfast love is always in our lives. The God who made each of us fearfully and wonderfully in God's own image is always there for us. This psalm is a beautiful background for the words of Jesus in today's gospel reading. "For God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." This may be the most famous verse of the Bible, and like so many famous verses, often misused or misunderstood. I think the verse is misused when it is intended as some sort of sorting mechanism. If you believe, i.e., if you agree with the idea that Jesus is God, then you will be saved and go to heaven. And if you do not believe with that idea, then you will not be saved and will perish in hell. Such a reading removes the verse from the context necessary to understand it, both the verse right after and the whole context of John's gospel. Verse 16 needs to be followed by verse 17. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The world might be saved through him. God's act in sending Jesus into the world to dwell among us is an act of love. Not an intention to sort or test or judge, but to save us and the world. To bring new beginnings to all our endings. To bring new life out of death and evil, sin, and despair. For God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. There are two parts of this that deserve a closer look in the context of John's gospel, and the first is the word believe. For John, belief in Jesus is not a matter of intellectual assent. Do you believe that a person named Jesus actually lived in the world 2,000 years ago and was the Son of God? That's intellectual belief in an idea. Instead, belief in Jesus in John's gospel refers to a relationship of trust for Jesus and his teachings, and a sense of abiding in Jesus. There's John's favorite word, abiding in Jesus. Belief means centering and grounding one's life in the love and grace of Jesus. Which then brings us to the idea of eternal life. So often that has been heard simply as the life after death, often with the idea that that life after death will be a reward or a punishment based on whether one is or is not a Christian. But for John, eternal life is more than that. Eternal life is precisely what one experiences when one abides in Jesus. Abundant life, grace upon grace. Eternal life is something we experience now when we are living in trust of God, living the way of love Jesus revealed to us. Eternal life in God begins now and continues through eternity. Even death is not an ending. Jesus offers these words at the end of his encounter with the religious figure Nicodemus. This encounter is one of several in John's gospel intended to reveal who Jesus is and the various ways that people respond to Jesus. Now, we don't immediately see how Nicodemus responds. It's almost like he kind of just disappears from the story. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and then suddenly he is kind of making a sermon. But later, Nicodemus will reappear. And perhaps there we will see how his encounter with Jesus has affected him. When the temple leaders and temple police are ready to arrest Jesus, Nicodemus speaks up for him, insisting that Jesus have a hearing before they condemn him. And at the end, after Jesus is crucified, Nicodemus is among the men who remove his body from the cross and bring spices and ointments to prepare him for burial. John's pattern of encounter with Jesus and response to Jesus is not just in the stories, but it is one that is repeated in our lives as people of faith. We too encounter God and we respond. This week, I told someone that I was preaching about John 3:16 and God's love for the world, and their response was, "Still? Why?" You might wonder, as the news of violence and disruption falls on us daily. I was just talking with someone before the service about how hard the news is these days, and Nadia Boltz-Weber's image of Tetris. You remember that name, that game where the blocks would fall and you could fit them in for a while, but they got faster and faster, and pretty soon they were just piling up? And that the news kind of feels like it's doing that, falling on our heads and piling up. Yet, as our New Testament class is reading this week, the violence of the world, the empire's practice of might makes right, is not a new thing in the world. Many people around the world have always experienced violence and uncertainty. And still, Jesus tells us God's judgment has already been made and it was this: for God so loves the world that God sent the only Son to offer us abundant eternal life. Right here, right now, in the midst of the struggle and the fear. Scholar and pastor David Lowes, who is pastor of the very large Mount Olivet Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, writes, "For God so loved the world. This is the first and last word of the gospel, indeed of the whole Christian story. So perhaps the task isn't so much to offer us an option. Would you like to receive God's love and grace? As it is to declare to us God's judgment and decision, God loves you and all the world, and then step back and see what happens. God loves you. God loves all the world. Given that knowledge, that gift of grace, how are we to respond? John invites us to respond with trust and love for God, abiding, resting, remaining in God's love. As we sang that first hymn today, I thought, this ancient prayer of St. Patrick, Christ before me, Christ around me, that's abiding in God's love, even, especially in these hardest days. And then he gives us a new commandment that we love others as Jesus has loved us. Remembering that God's promise in Psalm 139, God's judgment of love and salvation in John 3:16 and 17, is not just for us, but for all the world and all its people. May we live in God's love, and then live out of God's love in the world around us. May we be relentless and untiring in sharing God's love with all who need such great good news.
Amen.
Amen.